All right, you are here for day two, session two of your People Plan, a planning workshop for cultivating conscious connection. I am Allison Stanfield with Art for Success, and I'm so glad that you're here. I'm going to dive right in because we had a little tech snafu, and so I want to get in to our content really quickly. Yesterday, just a reminder, we worked on identifying connections, making a commitment to the one to three groups of people that you want to stay in touch with over the next 3 to 6 months, or reach out to, or really make turn into conscious connections. And then think about assigning authoritative locations. Where are you keeping information for these people? Today, we're going to make your people plan. We're going to talk about reaching out, following up, and nurturing the relationships of with the conscious connections, the relationships that you desire. You're going to create a structure, have a structure by the end of the day. You had some homework last night. It was to identify people by name. And just kind of to start on that. So this kind of starts your database of information for your people plan. We're not going to get too into that. And in fact, I have a slide that says share any insights. But what I really would like for you to do is to hold those insights till the end, because we have a lot of content to get through, because I kind of expanded today's session from what it was originally. So I want to make sure that we get through the information. So hold any questions till the end, write them down, and then we'll get to them at the end for sure, or tomorrow, if you can't stay until the end. But diving right in, we're going to start with the four commandments, my four commandments for cultivating conscious connections. I hope they're yours too. We're on page four of your workbook. Four of your workbook, if you want to follow along and fill in the blanks. I know that you can fill in blanks. I'm not worried about that, but I provide tools like that. I just kind of am encouraging you to take notes. Doodle, do whatever you can to stay focused, because doodling, writing notes helps you. All right. So, my first commandment is that you are in charge. This is encouraging you to be proactive. So, rather than waiting for a knock on the door or an invitation in your inbox, you take action. There's no need to be aggressive. There's no need to be abrasive or to do anything uncomfortable. Just be confident that you have purpose. Like, you know what you're doing, you know where you're going, you know how to get it. Know your direction and follow your people plan. And when I say don't wait, I do kind of, this is kind of an aside. But what I also mean is don't wait for opportunities. So many artists, I think especially this happens at the beginning of a career, but you need to know when you're past it. You wait for opportunities to apply to. You wait for the juried show, something to submit slides to, digital slides to these days. So instead, I really want to encourage you to create opportunities. There's always room for you to create your own opportunities rather than waiting to respond to others. So that's the first, is you're in charge. The second commandment is really, really, really care about people. I think I added an extra really in there. But really care about people and be committed to nurturing these relationships. We talked about this yesterday, but transactional relationships where I do one thing and you do another, and we expect mutual equal benefit from one another. They're just kind of icky. There's a place for them, but you don't want to do your, you don't want to run your business on them. So one artist told me long ago, he happens to be kind of a friend also, but he told me that he had a problem because he didn't really like people. And I was like, what do I do with that? That is a problem if you don't like people. And If you don't like, there's nothing that I can do. If you don't like people, there's nothing I can do about it. I don't think you would be here for a people plan if you didn't like people. That's like deep psychological stuff that I can't really help with. I can't make you like people and be curious about humans while you're here on planet Earth. So I think if you don't like people, that is a real handicap to your art business. I love that he recognized this in himself, and is finding ways around it, but you will have a harder time in your artist's life if you don't like people. The third commandment is to focus on personalized one-to-one interactions. So sending a single message to the right person is usually a lot more effective than broadcasting to hundreds or thousands. There is a place for broadcasting or posting to tons of people, and we'll talk about that when we get into ways to stay visible, to make sure that we're staying visible. In my essentials training, we refer to these one-on-one interactions as whispering. And they're based on an interview that I did a number of years ago. Gosh, it was probably at least 10 years ago now, with a marketing executive named Steve Cranford. He had, maybe still has, he did last year, not sure about this year, a business and a marketing agency in New York called Whisper. And I was so intrigued by that. And I said, why on earth would you have marketing agency called Whisper instead of Shout? Like, it just seemed like all marketing was about shouting. And he said, because the most important information you can share is whispered one-on-one. The most important information you can share is whispered one-on-one. So we call that, thanks to Steve, whispering. You will get better results always when you communicate one-on-one, one-to-one, rather than one-to-many. The fourth and final commandment so far is never discount your connection to anyone because everyone matters. Remember yesterday I mentioned that it's estimated that everyone knows about 150 people, and you just never know what gems may lie in someone's network of 150 people. So, yes, you want artists following you. You want lots of artists following you because they all know 150 other people. Your collectors all know 150 other people. The grocery store clerk knows about 150 people. Everyone matters. Be grateful for everyone in your life. Now let's talk about how these connections all work might work together. And I'd like to think of this as the conscious connections cycle. So we're now at the bottom of page four in your workbook. Excuse me. And I encourage you, I left a space for you to draw because, again, it helps you remember things and it's fun. And this is a diagram, so that's even more fun. So follow along as I talk. So the cycle of your conscious connections, of your conscious connections begins when you meet someone new. Now, there's things that happen before you meet someone new. It's the attraction phase or the research phase that you were working on last night. But the cycle of actually making the connections starts with meeting someone new. Maybe you took the first step as part of your people day, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Maybe you met someone while you were out, or you were introduced to someone. There's a lot of virtual introductions going around. There's couples sitting in my inbox right now. But this is where it all begins, when you meet someone new. Now, you can let it die here, or if you want to continue, you can follow up. That's the next phase. You're in this stage when you're waiting to hear from a collector about a possible commission, or from a student about a mentoring relationship that they were inquiring about, or from a curator at an art museum who has a prospectus out for a show. Curators don't put prospectus out, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about. There are some kinds of relationships that will end at this phase, like you get a hard no, or maybe you didn't get a good vibe from the person. It is totally okay to let this go. Letting people go right here is going to eliminate a lot of frustrations, a lot of needless time spent, and it makes room for more aligned, newer relationships when you let them go. Hang on just a second. Okay, this is really bad because this is all on the recording. But actually, I'm gonna pause the recording just a second. Okay, that's never happened before on a live workshop. The cat got so annoying that he was bothering me and my slides. So anyway, thank you for that little break. We were at it's fine to let relationships go. So when you do find through follow-up that you want to maintain a relationship, then it goes into the stay in touch phase. This is where there's additional communication between you. You might be you might put them in your database and make reminders to follow up with them. And so this is where you're staying in touch, not in an annoying way, but in a friendly, I care about you way. So remember that second commandment, really, really care about people. And when someone enters this phase, then they're going to go back and forth. Hang on just a second, let me adjust this. They're going to be going back and forth between following up and staying in touch. There's additional communication between the two of you. You're responding to requests, you're answering questions, you're considering options, countering a proposal, or you're in the middle of another type of communication with that person, or you're just waiting. You're just waiting, like you want to be in touch with them every 3 months or something like that. So that is a back and forth. It's not linear, which is why it can be difficult to stay on top of relationships. All you can do is do your best, and a little movement is better than no movement, and a little movement is better than trying to hyper document a relationship. You could spend all your time documenting relationships, and you don't have the bandwidth for that. You've got art to make, you've got a life to live. So be realistic about what you document, but just, do your best. And before we get too deep into the cycle, let's first lay out all the possibilities of how you can keep the relationship going. You might have encountered some of this in the assignment in the prep work, the emails, the social media posts, et cetera. So let's just go over them to remind you of all the tools that you have for connecting with people these days. You're familiar with them, but you might not have taken time to consider them as a whole or even write it out. You're just too busy doing them all the time. How do they work together? How do they work together for you, for your art business, for your goals, et cetera? All right, here's the list. And this, again, everything's in your notes, so no need to make sure you got everything down and you know all of these anyway. Social media, so following people, commenting, direct messaging, sending an email. That could be one email one-on-one to someone, or it could be a regular, and it should be a regular newsletter, which we'll talk about in a little bit. There is real mail, which I love, note cards or postcards. I love real mail. In fact, I was it, this time of a workshop is so stressful for me and my friend. I have a friend, Jamie, a childhood friend that we write letters back and forth. And she sent me a letter for this time, and I read it in when I went to bed last right before I went to bed last night, and it was so meaningful to hold that in my hand. So much more meaningful than a text, although I appreciate those, a text or an email. You can actually pick up the call, your the phone, and call someone. I know it's crazy, but you can do that. You can send an audio message. I think I mentioned this yesterday. I love the audio message capabilities on Instagram direct messaging. Love to send those. You can make a short video. There's an app called Bonjouro that I used to use that allows you to send short videos, and it sends a link to someone to watch their short video, but they have to then click on the link. And it's sent, I think those were all sent via email, but they might have a text capability to send short videos now. And by short, I think they were 30 to 60 seconds long. I use Marco Polo with some people, but the other person has to be signed up to talk back to the video, and probably to get the video in the first place. So you need something that people don't have to sign up for. You can also just record it and send it, but it's a large file. And if someone doesn't know you, they might not open it. You could text someone. You could actually visit in person. I always suggest this if you are scouting venues that you visit in person, because there's just a different vibe. You get the vibe when you go there in person that you don't see when you see a website. And you could actually have a meeting, set up a meeting in real life or in Zoom. So you know what all of these are. And you might have some questions about them. You might not have been using them. You might be curious. I dropped in Bonjouro there and videoing and audio messages. Write those questions down and we'll deal with them at the end or tomorrow. Happy to talk more about that list. So let's apply these to the conscious connections cycle. And we'll start with that process for initial contact. This is your first step. Actually, the first step is identifying who you want to connect with. That's what you did last night, a little yesterday in our sessions. You'll continue doing it. You'll do it on your people day and throughout your plan. I hope you're always doing that. They're not connections yet, they're just potential. When you're researching or attracting, then you need to decide how you want to reach out to these people. And I suggest that the first line of outreach is social media. That's because there's a level of comfort here. You're not like emailing someone and saying, "Hey, I'm so and so, you should look at my art." You are getting people to know you, become familiar with your name and presence. And I think that's always more comfortable, more authentic, and more long-lasting than a single email or letter. So here's how that would works. You follow them on social media, if you can find them, follow them on social media. You comment on their posts. You don't just like, you comment because people don't look at likes. Well, there's some people that are looking at liking and outing people for liking things. So, but most people don't see all of their likes. You want to look at the comments. And then you share the posts that they post that are relevant. You can share them in your stories. If they're like super relevant to the rest of your feed, you could share them in a post of your own. Think about how you can do this. I'm totally going off script here. Think about how you can do this with one of those consequential strangers, like a restaurant that you love, or that happens to show art, or that you know the, like, lots of restaurant owners own multiple restaurants and know hundreds of people. So it doesn't hurt to get in on their good sides ever. But if you promote them in your stories and tag them, that's always appreciated and noticed. And then you can also look for mutual connections. I love Instagrams. Whenever I follow someone, I love their additional suggestions because they're always on target. I'm like, oh yeah, these are cool people too. Not that I need more people to follow, but they're usually really good. So just a reminder that we are so lucky to have social media, because and I say this all the time, it totally ages me, but when I was first starting this business, and especially right before that, so in 2001, 2002, the artists were still sending slide packets, like 35 millimeter slide packets. And those cost a fortune. They cost a fortune to have the slides made, to mail them, to send a self-addressed stamped envelope, but you never hardly ever got back because people never took the time to it. It was expensive. So we are very lucky to have these tools. And I know that sometimes it can be a pain in the butt and depressing and annoying, and you get paranoia. And yet we have to remind ourselves that we can connect with so many people that we couldn't have connected with 20, 30 years ago. 20 years ago, we couldn't have connected with these people. So it's really this amazing tool. And I am truly the last person to be a preacher for social media. But when I think of the way it used to be and all these and these tools that we have, you're really lucky. You're just really lucky. And I hope that we continue to remember that as it is to grumble about it. So I have another tip for social media, and this is particularly pertains to Instagram. And I think we're really talking about Instagram right now, because I think the professionals that you want to connect with would be the ones on Instagram. The more personal relationships might be more Facebook oriented, which I think is, I am not going to predict this, but I think it might be worth some people reconsidering the use of Facebook who have totally gone off of it. I think there's people still on it that might be beneficial to connect with. So the next thing I'm going to suggest you do, I'm going to use Eve Jacobs Carnahan, who told me, who you heard earlier when off audio when my screen wasn't working, but I'm going to use her as an example. And what I'm going to encourage you to do is save posts of your conscious connections. Now, some of you may be way ahead of me on this. I know I've done a reel about this. So if you have suggestions, better suggestions, we always want to hear them. But to save conscious connections posts, what you do is, first of all, you select a post that will help you remember someone. So I'm selecting this photo of Eve. It's a picture of her with her artwork. So I know when I look at that picture, without even looking at the name, that that's Eve. So I suggest you select a good sample photograph. And then you're going to go to those three dots in the upper right. And you don't need to write any of this down, because it's in your notes. And it's also on this video about, I don't even know, 20 minutes in, I guess. So Then you're going to, when you click on the three dots, you can see that save ribbon that's at the bottom. You're going to click on that. And then, if you don't already have the collection saved, you're going to create a new collection, which I suggest that you call Conscious Connections. And then you click on the collection, you name it and save it. And then you go to your profile. This is how you're going to find it. This on your people day, you're going to go to your profile. You're going to click on the three bars at the top of your profile. Click on the saved ribbon, and that takes you to your saved collections. And there you see the Conscious Connections collection. It's a mouthful. And Eve's photo, just because it's a sample, and it's the only one that I have right there. And then what you're going to do is you're going to click on Eve's on all the saved posts that you have in that saved collection. Go to those people's profiles, see what they've posted since then. And that's when you can comment. So you can find them all in one place. You don't have to wait for Instagram's algorithm to remind you by putting them in your feed. So there's a little, I hope that that helps you stay in touch with your conscious connections, at least on Instagram. If they're not active on social media, you're going to have to make a cold connection, and that's going to vary depending on who that person is. It could be a warm connection if you could, a warm introduction if you find someone that you have in common. For a lot of people in the art world, so we're talking curators, gallerists, directors, anyone affiliated with the art world, and others, I actually recommend still postcards, and that's because fewer artists are doing them. And I love postcards because they associate your name and your artwork together in one place and they last. So even if they're sitting on someone's desk or refrigerator or whatever for a while, even if someone looks at it and throws it away, they have touched it. So it involves another sense than just eyes. So, I'm using Carol McIntyre's postcard as an example. I have, by the way, just as an aside, I have a post that I'm going to link to about occasions for sending postcards. I'll put that in your notes, but you don't need an excuse, a reason to send a postcard other than to share your work. You just need to share your work. And so a postcard has what I'm looking for in a postcard are three specific things. And there's multiple things in between, in amid those specific things. But we're looking right here at what Modern Postcard calls the front of a postcard. I call it, I'm not Modern Postcard, Moo. Probably Modern Postcard probably does too, if they're still around. But Moo calls it the front of your postcard. I call it the back of your postcard. So I'm going to call this the back of your postcard. Here's the three things that I'm looking for on an artist postcard. The front is a large image of your art with your name on the front. Doesn't have to be anything more than that. Your art and your name, because then people pick it up and they see your art and your name, and they start. There's name recognition, there's art recognition. The back, I suggest that you go all out and get the color on both sides because it's cheaper than ever to do that. And it's just impressive to put a smaller image on the back with your name. Mailing the gallery mailed this for Carol. This is under the gallery's name, so you won't see this, but your name, your mailing address, the credit lines for the artwork. Don't forget the credit lines for the artwork. The website, your website URL, your email address, and perhaps your Instagram on the back. And how much you include on the back depends on your reason for sending the postcard. If you have a show to promote, if you want to say happy holidays, or I have a sale coming up, or something like that, then you want to leave more room, and you might like just put your website URL and not all that other stuff. If you want to say, you know, available for commissions, then you might want to put all of the other stuff. And the third thing that you add to this, and this particular postcard that the gallery did for Carol doesn't have room for it, but I always look for a lot of white space on the back so that you can write a note. And she could have written in Sharpie over her painting here. But if you handwrite just the quickest note, mail with handwriting on it is more likely to get someone's attention. They'll spend longer with it than if you just sent it without any handwriting on it. So, I mean, even the hand addressing would help with that. So you can, you know, what you say is just kind of up to you. You can say, loved your last show. If you're sending it to a gallery, you could say studio visits available, commissions available. I mean, you could, you know, just kind of think about the person that you're sending it to and what you want to happen as a result. But mostly you're just being friendly with a handwritten note. So that's postcards, which I believe in, as you know. And then another way to do a cold introduction is to send an email. Email is complicated by the fact that inboxes are overloaded and so much email goes directly to junk mail or is just ignored. I mean, as I said, a lot of people in this program, I said this yesterday, like a tenth of this program emailed us yesterday to ask us or messaged us through our community to ask us for the link. And we sent the email out four times with the link for yesterday's call in it. So emails are just getting ignored. There's nothing we can do about it. I wish people would open our email. I wish especially if you I hope especially if you sign up and pay for a program that you make, you know, pay close attention to your inbox when that program runs around, because someone's probably going to be emailing you with instructions about it. But so email is unreliable, but you can try it. Just don't be surprised if you don't hear back. I have had some students and clients say, I emailed them and I gave up because I never heard back. No. They're like, you don't hear back in an email, send a postcard. You don't hear back from then, you know, send a direct message or visit or something. Don't give up if you don't get a definite no. Again, you don't want to be abrasive or annoying, but email, okay, here's another example. We are constantly asking artists to feature their art on the website. They sometimes respond and sometimes don't. We're giving them free publicity. And I know that, you know, there's all kinds of things around free publicity, but we do feature them. We link to their website with every single time. And sometimes we don't hear from them. So where do I always find them? Instagram direct message. 99% of the time we'll get a response on Instagram direct message when we don't hear from them on email. So that's why the cold introduction on the email is just kind of difficult. Okay, let me grab a sip. I am saving any questions in chat till the end. I want to make sure that I get through everything. So hopefully there's nothing super urgent there. All right. Okay, so that was some processes for initial contact. Now, methods for following up and staying in touch. After you have made a connection and you know that you want to be in a business relationship with your prospect, you need to keep up the relationship. Remember that you are in charge, that first commandment. And you're going to have to use your best judgment about matching all the tools that we went over, all those, you know, different options, email, phone, text, DM, two specific situations. I wish I had that magic wand again. And I wish I could tell you exactly the steps to take for your contacts, but every contact is going to be different. Your goals are different than the next artist. So you need to be tuned into the relationship to be discerning about the next best step for that connection, right? I do this with my private clients. I do this with coaching when I know the specifics about a situation, but blanket general statements I cannot make. So the most important thing to understand is that your follow-up is personal. It's not a broadcast or a post, but it's personal. It's a personal one-to-one interaction. In case you need it, there's a list of reasons to contact people in case you don't want to just say, hi, hi, it's me. There's a whole list that I'm not going to go over, but it's in your notes for today. But I do want to call your attention to one thing, and that is the holiday greeting. I work with this with a number of my clients, and that is, come holidays, when the holidays roll around, if you watch your inbox, so many subject lines look the same. They are like, happy holidays. They'll say that. Or some people use the start of the month. I can't believe it's June for their emails. So they all start to kind of look alike. I would encourage you to take the holiday less traveled, and don't fret about getting holiday greetings out to people, because they just get lost in the mix. And honestly, most holiday greetings aren't very interesting, unless they're one-on-one. So I would encourage you to pick a different holiday. National Ice Cream Day, Arbor Day. Think about your niche market and how you can, and your personality and how you can connect with them. What's a holiday that you could use as an excuse, a reason to contact them? So I will say that much about this list. All right, let's talk about marketing frequency. Okay, let me see where I am. Okay. There are some marketing things that you have to do at a bare minimum. And everyone has their own threshold as to what that bare minimum is. For 16 years, my bare minimum was a weekly newsletter. Never missed an issue for 16 years. And then I decided, I don't want to be known for not missing an issue of my newsletter, and I missed an issue. And now I mostly send one out every week, but sometimes it's every other week. So it all depends it depends on so many factors. So when I'm coaching someone and we talk about their marketing plan and their strategies that they're going to use, this is what I ask them. What are your goals? What's the ultimate goal? What do you want to happen in your arts career, your artist life? When you look back on everything, what do you want to have had happen? So that's the ultimate goal. Then there's the short-term goals. What do you want to happen in the next 30, 60, 90, 180 days? What do you have going on? Maybe you have a show in September that you need to make sure is in your marketing plan. So what are these things? But that's related to your schedules and obligations. What is going on in your life? Not just your shows, but your exercise routine. It's gardening season. That's happening with a number of my clients right now. Ours is almost here, if the wind would ever stop. But what are you, what's happening in your personal life? Are you, do you have three kids that you're juggling? All those things must be taken into account before you can find your threshold for marketing activities. And that all relates to how you want your life to be. How do you want your life to be? So do you see that all these have to be aligned? Because if they're not, you can say that you want something, like I really want this to happen. But if the rest of your life is competing against that goal, you're just going to end up frustrated in all areas of your life. So you need to take everything into account and think about what is your bare minimum. I love this photo. Least amount of effort. What is the bare minimum effort that you will do with your marketing? And I'm thinking of this phase as kind of your staying visible. This is what I do to stay visible and relevant. This is one to many marketing, right? Not one to one, but one to many marketing. What is your bare minimum? And I would say that you're going to include, so this is not in your workbook, but it is in your notes today. There's a place for you to fill it in your notes today. What's your bare minimum for updating your website? The frequency with which you would update your website. Your website is your home base. Social media is great, as we've already established, but you don't own the platforms for social media. You can't walk people through a sequence or a journey on social media because you just never know where they're going to land, what Instagram or Facebook's going to show them. So, but when they go to your website, you have that control. So you want to make sure that it's up to date, that you're proud of it, that you want to share it with people. So what's your bare minimum for that? What's your bare minimum for posting to social media? What is your bare minimum for sending an email newsletter? And what is your bare minimum for attending art events, for showing up at someone else's opening or artist talks or what have you? I'm not talking about visiting a museum or a gallery because you're not really talking to people there. It's not a special event, but I'm talking about places where you can be seen. So, how, with that in mind, we're going to do breakout groups again, breakout rooms, and you're going to discuss your bare minimums for emailing a newsletter. What is your bare minimum for emailing a newsletter? Remember, we have, let's see, we have 10 minutes max. In fact, I think I'm going to give you 7 minutes. We're going to give you 8 minutes. I'm going to give you 8 minutes, and you are going to go around the room. Remember that you're connecting with people. Remember people's names. I love how you all connected yesterday and shared information with one another. And talk about this. The person with the darkest hair today is in charge of the room and making sure that everyone gets their turn. And I'll bring you back in 8 minutes. All you have to do is agree to go. Again, where there's going to be 3 to 4 people, I hope, in each room. Actually, yeah. So I'll see you in 8 minutes, and I'll give you a 2-minute warning. So the thing that I hate most about breakout rooms is that I don't get to hear what you're doing in there. I hope you behaved and I hope you stayed on topic so that everyone got a chance. But I always want to know, and we never have time for it, but it is like most important that you connect with one another, that you get a chance to talk with other artists in this space. If any questions happened as a result, again, please keep those till the end, and because we'll make sure that we get through everything. Now we've got to get your people plan. We've got to get your people plan going. And actually, I've got too many papers here. Okay, so now you're ready for it. Now you're ready for your people plan, which is actually, ta-da, your people day. Your people day is the whole plan because it's a system, it's a self-contained system. And what we're going to do now is we're going to look at your workbook and pages 5 to 7 in your workbook and kind of, I'm going to actually stop share. I'm going to stop the share. And we can just talk about this in your workbook. I want your people day to look to be something that you look forward to really, I really want you to feel like this is the time that I get to connect with other people. I get to hear what they're up to. I get to share about my art. And the only thing better than this is spending time in my studio. That's how I want your people day to feel. And when I say people day, it could be people hour, it could be people 2 hours, it could be people week, depending on where you are. But I'm looking for some kind of ritual around it. I don't follow this because every day is my people day, but they do have a people morning on Monday mornings so that I can catch up with what's happening in our community on the progress reports that people are posting. I read those on Monday morning. So I kind of have my people morning, and my ritual is to it's just what I do, like plow through everything, respond to everything that needs responding to. Not that I'm not there other times of the week, but that's when I like really close out everything, get my cup of coffee, see what's going on. So then I can write the bulletin for members. So I like this quote from Greg McKeown. McKeown, McKeown, McKeown is McKeown, that he wrote the book Essentialism and the book, this is from the book Effortless. And he says, habits explain what you do. So making a habit of people day is the going through the motions of people day. But rituals are about how you do it. So you can make your people day into a ritual. As I said on that page, you can, light a candle, you could put on your favorite. I usually have music on. I like spa music for things like this. And then you will have your 2-page worksheet that's on pages 6 and 7 of the workbook. And also, for those of you who use Notion, we've put this in Notion now. Your People Day worksheet is now in Notion. So if you have access to our artist organizer, it's in there now. It's under relationship building. Just let me know if you need it, if you want your people day planning in Notion. In fact, you could just put a note in chat and I'll find it there. Make sure that you get it. This is just for Notion users. I'm not encouraging you to use Notion. It's only if you're already using Notion. So I suggest that you set aside one day a week, especially in the beginning, because you have all these connections to make, things to get organized, authoritative locations in which to put things. So I want you to get in the habit of it and have it at least weekly right now. Maybe set aside a couple hours. If it doesn't take 2 hours, it doesn't take 2 hours. Then you have free time. Love free time. And just Block this out on your calendar for the next 3 months. Can you do that for me? Block out People Day for the next 3 months so that it becomes a ritual or habit for you. And so the questions that you're asking on your People Day are, who do you want to meet or introduce yourself to? Who do you need to follow up with? Who do you need to stay in touch with? And what form will your communications take this time? Those are the big questions. But you have your worksheet to go through. And your worksheet, again, is on pages 6 and 7. And if I put my pages in order, it would be much easier and much less noisy for the recording. All right. So on your People Day, you're going to put the date so that you know when the last time was that you did this stuff. And you're going to use names on here so you have a record of who you connected with. You're going to review what you did on your last People Day. Here's what I have seen that happens. This happens with my private clients because they have check-in forms that they're supposed to fill out before we get together. And what I find they forget to do is to look at what they did last time and what they agreed to do last time. So I encourage you to look at what you did on your last People Day and think about what insights you have had since then. Identify who you've connected with in the last week or since your last People Day, and who you need to follow up with. You could follow up immediately. You could make a reminder on your calendar or task list to follow up with them. Put a string on your finger, do whatever you need to. But you just make that decision in the moment because again, there's no one single answer to everything. You'll add new contacts, some of those new contacts to their authoritative list. You might find that the people that you want to meet, like they're just on a spreadsheet. They don't get to the special list until there's like follow up and interaction. So you just have to feel your way into a system that works for you. Honestly, if I kept track of every email relationship that came to me, I would go crazy, go bonkers. But there are some that I really need to, like people that are a potential podcast guest. What did I tell them? What did I tell them we were going to talk about? I really need to keep track of this. And then you'll make a plan to follow up with other people as necessary, or you will follow up with other people as necessary in whatever way works best. So this is how you like think about who you've been in touch with, who you haven't reached out to in a while, and look at that list. Do I want to email them? Do I want to DM them? Do I want to send them a postcard this time? What steps will you take today and with whom? So you can record that here or use your spreadsheet or database. Then also on your People Day, this is a time for you to research potential new connections. Who looks interesting next week? Again, I love that Instagram referral thing, but also it's like, oh, I need some more alternative spaces on my potential contacts list, or I need more grant applications. Those can be on your people list, maybe. Something like how do you want to build your list up this week? And it might be that this is not a week to research potential connections. You've got enough to follow up with right now. So you can just X through that or delete it, ignore it altogether. And I do say that it is not a bad idea for you to go through those 31 categories of people every week because it just might spur you to remember something like, oh yeah, I did meet someone who does this week, and I do need to follow up with them. I do need to do something. So that just takes a few minutes to look through. You can then add the potential connections to their authoritative locations, document everything, update records for individuals. This is where you want, this is what I was talking about. You want to do this as best you can so that you have record of what you did or said with that said did with or said to that person last time. So you don't have to retrace your steps. But again, I don't want you to go hyper, like I don't want you to spend so much time documenting everything that you're not actually doing the work. I'd rather you do that. But you'll have to decide like what is, and you know, when you figure this out the most, you mostly figure this out when you've done something wrong. So you figure it out when you promise something to someone and you forgot that you made that promise and they reminded you and you can't find any record of it. So that's when you know that there's like, you need to be better documenting in that area. So you can let yourself relax for a little bit, but then you'll realize some things that slip through the crack and you'll think, okay, this is where I really need to tighten up my act in this area. And then you can decide if something comes to mind, what you want to accomplish on your next people day. Like this day, I didn't get to update my collectors in Artwork Archive. So I want to make sure that I do that next time. And you can put that in there. So there you have it. There's your people plan. Your people plan is a system where you go step by step regularly. It's on your calendar. You can do it weekly in the beginning. You can change it to monthly. Depends on what's going on in your life as about the frequency. But I encourage you to put it on your calendar and honor it. Make it a ritual. All right. Let me share my screen again. Get the right one there. And get this. Okay. Just 1 second. So, ta-da, there's your people plan. Your people plan is your people day. And it is impossible for me to overstate how important this work is, because it's impossible for me to overstate how valuable your network is when you want your art career to take off, to grow, to build, to become, you know, to get more, ever more prestigious venues and opportunities. And your network is absolutely useless until you nurture it, until you follow up and stay in touch. So you need some kind of system. If not this one, find another one, make your own. All right, that's your people plan, but I'm not going in. So you, here's what you've done. You've prioritized the people on your list. You've identified, I say you prioritize the people on your list. You've prioritized that the people you know and who've asked to stay in touch with you are your top priorities. That's what I mean by prioritizing the people on your list. They are the people who have bought from you before are more likely to buy from you again. They're more likely to tell people about you. They're more likely to share opportunities with you. You have identified 1 to 3 new categories of people that you want to pay close attention to during the upcoming season. You know the authoritative locations for safekeeping of contact information. You're going to make a point of keeping notes about your contacts so that you can personalize your communication. What's my collector's dog's name? What kind of breed dog do they have? How many kids do they have? You want to keep all that information to personalize it. When you come across it, you don't need to snoop around and spend time doing that. But when you come across it, you've designated a people day and you've added it to your calendar for the next 3 months. Now, I know you haven't been able to do that in the last 10 minutes, but you can do that as soon as we get off. And you have the steps, the worksheet to follow up on your people day. So that's your people plan. I'm not going anywhere. We have office hours tomorrow on Zoom. I'm going to tell you, I have a lot more to tell you, but first I want to tell you about these office hours. You can come and stay for the whole session. They're at the same time And I stay there 50 to 75 minutes because if they're not, I mean, if they're 90 minutes, I'll go 90 minutes. But if there are not questions after 50 minutes, I'm going to get off the call. So you can come and stay. There's no need to RSVP. There's no need to say, I have to leave. Just come and go as you please. Ask me anything about your plan or anything that we've talked about here. Remember, and you can do that right now when we're going to get to Q&A in just a minute, but remember that questions have a question mark at the end of it. And when you're in a group situation, you need to learn to bottom line the question. Get to the point. This is really good. We're an incubator, a petri dish for you to practice this. So get to the heart of your question in a group. There is a place in the gathering in our community for you, if you know your questions in advance, for you to post your questions, and I'll look at those before, to see if there's any there. So the office hours gathering, there's a place for you to post questions or insights or anything about that. Speaking of that community, if you haven't joined, there's a dollar membership offer through May 14th. You can get in our community for a month for just a dollar. Try it out and see if you like it. Experience our live sessions. We have them almost weekly. And on May 23rd, we have a People Day co-working session. So if you haven't already had a People Day, or if you need another one by May 23rd, join us for your People Day co-working session with Suzanne Gibbs, who is our artist mentor. Also, you have a promotional code for $100 off we call it a credit because you paid for this. You didn't pay $100. Nobody paid $100 for this, but we're giving you a $100 credit for my Essentials program or the single season for cultivating connections. They're both on the same page. And that is good through, I think it's good through the 22nd. The coupon code is good through the 22nd, but it is. We have orientation and kickoff coming, and I have just scheduled a second one of those. So you could come to May 14th, a Tuesday, or May 22nd, a Wednesday, for orientation for cultivating connections. Essentials is broken up into three seasons a year, and this next season is cultivating connections, of which the people plan, your people plan, was just the beginning. So inside of our learning center, this is for people. We're going to go over this more in depth in our orientation. But if you are curious what we're doing in Cultivate Connections, in May, we're going to be polishing networking skills. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be polishing networking skills. We have primary lessons of networking in person, creating a compelling introduction and then starting conversations, then introducing yourself online. That was a webinar that I did with the amazing Gigi Rosenberg at the outbreak of COVID that is always relevant. You have access to all that. This is all related to that part of your cycle that is meeting someone new, right? In June, grow your list because come on, we're always talking about growing our list, whether it's email, VIPs list, more conscious connections, or social media followers. The primary lessons are networking online, using sign-up forms, and offering freebies. I kind of think there's going to be an additional lesson in here for you. The thing is, when you enroll in Essentials, you have access to my entire vault, almost 100 lessons. So you can always supplement, but these will be the core lessons. This is also related to meeting someone new. When you are growing your list, you're looking for new people to be on it. Then July, we talk about designing your customer experience. There is a webinar that I did, Designing a Five-Star Customer Experience, that is in depth about following up with the people who sign up for your newsletter, What happens after they sign up, and then what happens, and then what happens? The people who buy your art, the people who enroll in your classes, what happens immediately after, and then, and then, and then. Actually, this actually starts with before they buy. So, designing a five-star customer experience is your primary lesson for July. You also have, we talked about these yesterday, a module on re-engaging a neglected list and segmenting your list. That all has to do with follow-up and staying in touch. And then in August, I'm leaving August kind of loosey-goosey because I want to revisit your people plan, because I hate to make plans and then put them on the shelf and pretend like nothing happened. So we're going to revisit, maybe refine it after all those learning modules and conversations that we've had throughout these next 3 months, 4 months. And then I'll see what those lessons consist of. I'm not totally sure yet. And then this is there's you can claim your credit. The instructions are now on your people plan information page. So you can claim your credit there. Yeah, it does say May 22nd. That's right. And you and it says that you can use this for either essentials or cultivating connections this single season. If you have questions about any of these or my private coaching, please let me know. I will also say that that I have a program called the Art Biz Accelerator. It's for people that have taken all my classes and feel like they have moved beyond them, or you've taken the equivalent of all my classes. I've actually found out that there's not the equivalent that I know of. Nothing is equivalent. But if you've taken those and you want to have higher level conversations with a core group of people, there's about 20 of us in there right now, twice a month. That's what the Art Biz Accelerator is for. And there you can email me about that or tell me in chat that you're interested in the accelerator, and I'll send you information on that. It's by application only. So I just want to say before we get to Q&A, thank you for being here. Thank you for being present, for walking through your people plan. Thank you for doing the work, the homework, the prep work, all of it. And I am really delighted to be able to turn off slides and take your questions now. All right, because I don't have a cat here anymore, I can put that there. And I'm going to go through what I see in chat. If there are any questions. Okay, mostly you all are connecting with each other. And I see people that want the Notion People Day, please. I got that. Gotcha. Noted. Did you all see yesterday the recordings and the transcript, and that there's a chat from yesterday? So everyone who connected yesterday is all in yesterday's chat recording that's in there. Jay, I think you might, are you talking about the Greg McKeown's book, Effortless? It's going to be in the notes. I think that's the only book that I referenced today. It's going to be in the notes. Okay, I don't see any questions. Daryl said there's a cloud appreciation day now. Of course there is. Good for you. You can do Cloud Appreciation Day. That is awesome. All right. I don't see any way up there, so I'm going down. If I miss someone's that you posted way earlier, let me know.
We have a few recent ones here, but
I got them. I got them. Thank you. And so if whether it's able to be better. Ah, okay. Elaine, oh, that was your, that's your, just one is one of them. Go ahead. Is it Alana or Elena?
It's Alana.
Alana, thank you.
Oh, yeah. So okay. We had a question in the group. I hope it's okay to share. Just someone who generally sends 3 times a year, but when there's something more substantial. So for instance, and I have the same question. Is it better to do it seasonally on a regular basis so that it's consistent if it's going to be quarterly, for instance? Or is it better to wait until there's a nice chunk of news to share?
No.
No.
Okay. It's better to be consistent. And here's why. It's because you're keeping your name in front of people. And you, if you are working in the studio, as you should be, then you should always have something to share. If you're posting to social media, you have something to share in your newsletter also. So it's always better. And what I'll tell you what's the worst is when you don't email people for a while and then you feel like you have to tell them everything that you've been doing ever since the last time you emailed. That's why I'd rather you do something like short and consistent. And then like if you do it, I really want you to do it monthly, but if you do it bi-monthly or quarterly, then add it when you want action from people, you send a solo email, which is separate from a newsletter. So if you want, like if you're having a sale or if you want to invite them to something, then you might just put that on by itself. Or if you're teaching a class, that might just be by itself in an email and separate from your newsletter. Does that help? Did I answer it?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that was an easy one. Okay, let's see what's next. Melinda, People Day is you. No. People Day is you with your worksheet. I'm glad you asked this. You with your worksheet, a cup of coffee, a candle lit, going through the worksheet, following up with people, seeing who else you need to reach out to. It's your planning time is what it is. You can do it wherever you want. You go to a coffee shop if you want.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for being here. Melinda, let me ask you this. I'm totally going to put you on the spot. Is this helpful to you where you are in your work right now?
Yes, totally. Just for the context for the rest, because Alison knows that I told her I'm just beginning, I just transitioned to abstract art, you know, I have no artwork to share yet, not that ready, but you know, she suggested that people plan will still be applicable. So yeah, here I am. So yes, like for example, like the VIP list, you know, I didn't know that this exists and I have them. And so, you know. Yeah, so I've been doing my list, and I always thought that I don't have enough people yet. But when you combine them, I'm like, oh, hey.
Yay!
Yeah,
so,
yes. Yeah.
Yay. So that's great. This is one of the steps that I tell people that they can take. I can't remember all the steps, but there's like 4 steps before you're ready to market. One is to connect with artists in your community. And another one is start your list, because then when you have something to share, then it's there. So good. I'm glad that you found this helpful and that you found people to add. Thanks, Melinda.
Thanks.
Karen, downloads are available for as long as you have access to the Learning Center. We do take them down, but I really suggest that you download them now. We'll eventually take them down, but I suggest that you get them now while you're thinking about it. Because we email people before we take things down, but sometimes you don't open your emails and then you don't see that we're taking it down.
And just downloaded all of day one. I was thinking, oh, day two. I'm going to make sure I get day two before the end of the week.
Yeah, well, end of the week, it'll be up a lot longer than that. It'll be up at least through this season. So, yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. Tammy, the orientation for Cultivate Connections is for everyone who wants to participate in Cultivate Connections. So we What I do is I go through the season, what we're going to be doing through the season, and then I do a tour of our websites and how to find everything. And that's when the people that already know that stuff can leave, right? So it's for everyone that's going to participate, but some of you already know the stuff in the second half and you'll be able to leave.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Oh, what are my notes? The notes are what I call the better than a transcript. So it's if you go to the people plan page in the Learning Center, you'll see the I may even say better than a transcript in the below the recording from yesterday. And so it's what it's all this paper that I'm wrestling around is what it is. And it has all like all the links and everything that I all the lists and the 31 people and everything in it. So thank you for posting that, Karen. Linda asks, is the 1 to 3 categories mainly for new connections or people that we already know? No, the list, the people that you already know is your list. And that is, and I know this is a little confusing. So those are the, that's what, if you aren't paying attention to your list right now, if you aren't nurturing those relationships, you don't even need the 1 to 3 categories. You might need them in 3 months when you can revisit this. And you've already like started, really taking care of your list. But your list is like, even if you add a new category, you don't ignore your list. You're the 1 to 3 categories is, and remember, you can't focus. It's not possible to focus on more than one thing at a time. So 1 to 3 categories is really generous. So if I would do one at a time or one, maybe a small, three smaller groups or something like that, because the more you spread out your attention, the less you're focusing on that group. So it's mostly for new connections, like, oh yeah, art consultants would be a good group for me to connect with. I have no idea who they are. So that's going to be my one new group for the next 2 months for whatever it is that you decide. Hopefully that's right. Sarah says, oh, Sarah, that's a long one. Come on camera. Can you come on camera? Just because I like to talk with someone besides, someone likes to hear, everyone likes to hear someone else's voice besides mine.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
And there's Buddy.
Yeah, he's floating around here somewhere. He's being very patient. So I was looking back at my email connections last night and kind of pulling together what's there. And I'm seeing people who reached out to me, last year, the year before, mostly designers. And then I haven't had anything to do with them since then. So is there a certain way to, I mean, do I just let it go after a year or two, or do I now recultivate that connection and send something out?
So is it just something that you dropped because you didn't have the bandwidth?
No, it's mostly like I'm interested in work for this client. Can you send me the slides? We go back and forth a bunch of times and then nothing comes of it.
Okay, got
So
it.
is that the sort of thing that I should kind of,
Yes.
okay.
Keep up. So you just say, well, I just found this and I guess nothing came of that. And I wanted you to know that this is that I have new work here.
Okay. And then
Yeah.
send them like a artwork archive portfolio kind of deal as an attachment.
Yeah. Yeah. And you all listen up to this. This is bonus information. When you send people to look at your work, you don't send them to your homepage. You send them to the work that you want them to see. And so you send them to your portfolio or your new work or your available work or something like that. It's even cooler if you can make a page just for them, like for art consultants or for designers or something, so that they like feel that you made this space special for them. You
Can you
can't
put
do that
that
all
on
the
your
time.
website?
What's that?
Do you include that on your website or like a hidden link kind of thing?
You could, but you are, but you mentioned Artwork Archive, so you could do it on Artwork Archive too.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Was that, did I get all your questions with that?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks.
Okay. How important do you think it is to resend to non-openers for my monthly emails? Not important. Here's the rules about sending to unopens. You send the exact same email to unopens, and the only thing you change is the subject line. It's the exact same email because they didn't open it. So they don't know what's inside of it. So that's the only thing that you do. The only time I send unopens, and I only did it once when I was promoting this program, is when I'm promoting something. So I don't send any unopens to my newsletter. I only send it when I have a promotion going on with a deadline. And I usually wait like 4 days. Some people I know some people have automated MailChimp to send it out within 24 hours. No, give people time to open your emails. Lots of people are going to open it on the weekend, and give people a little bit of time to open them. So plan out your strategy. So I think I emailed the promotional email on Tuesday I have it. Not handy. I have it somewhere. I think I sent the promotional email. The first, it's like People Plan is open email. This is what it all is. I think it's sent on a Tuesday or Wednesday, and I sent that to unopens on a Sunday. I don't always send on emails on weekends, but I thought I wanted to try it. Okay. Thanks, Mandy. Eve, I want to talk about this with you. My one conscious connection.
Hi.
Hi. Could you ask your question?
Okay. Please? So say I'm researching people in one of these categories and I make this list of people to research. Should I put all those names into my authoritative list before I have really done anything with them? Like maybe I will have followed them on social media, but should I wait to put them into my CRM?
No, I would want them in there.
Okay.
Yeah, you can always delete them later.
Yeah.
Or more likely, because I know you're using, using CRM for this?
Yeah.
You are.
Well, I am, but then I began to think, am I bloating that? Am I just putting people in there who I haven't connected with, but I've heard about them? Like sometimes I hear about somebody who's like, oh, that's probably an interesting person at some point, but I haven't met them yet, or I haven't.
That's okay. Yeah. I would call it prospects, tag them as prospects or something. So I do all that for myself in Notion. And then I can sort it. Like when I'm looking for podcast guests or something, I may not have made any connection with these people, but I have this list that I can see, oh, they sound interesting now. So yeah, I want to keep it because otherwise those one in one, like I'll never remember it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Tagging them as prospects sounds like a good.
Okay.
To, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Good. Good. Thanks, Eve. Laurie, solo email versus newsletter. And you're welcome to unmute yourself if you want. And a newsletter is regular. I send to my list. It's why people sign up. You say, I email you, and you make a promise monthly, bi-monthly, quarterly, whatever it is. I send my newsletter quarterly and, infrequently in between when I have something going on is what you say. So the newsletter is regular. It probably has regular features. It's to keep your list warm. It's showing your latest artwork. Maybe it has multiple things on there. It has your schedule, your classes that you're teaching, whatever. Not terribly long, but it's longer. The solo emails are when you want action for something. I want you to sign up for your people plan. That's all that's in the email. Now, I might include it in my newsletter also, but when I want action for people, I send solo. It's only about one thing. They can sign up, they can delete it, or they can think about it and leave it in their inbox. Okay. That's what a solo email is. Yeah, go ahead, Laurie.
So in the newsletter, you could have a call to action as well, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But this would just be, so this goes through your email marketing platform, the solo, but it's just only like, I've just launched a new collection, shop it here and link through or something.
Correct.
Like that. Okay.
Correct. I save solo emails for, yeah, you're just more likely to get action when there's not 14 links in it to different things, you know?
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh, Margaret Ann, I don't have a picture of the front of Carol's postcard. Really sorry. If I can find it, I'll share it, but it's just a piece of art with her name on it on the front. So I can't remember what it is. If you need examples, I've got other examples, and I know you're in the community. Do you need more examples of postcards? Is that what you're looking for, Margaret Ann?
I just think, can you hear me? I just think it's an absolutely lovely thing to have something that's A6 or whatever that is, but actually rigid and a card rather than just a flyer. And because I've got an open studio coming up in June.
Yeah.
And I've got a very friendly designer. It's maybe something that I could actually add to the picture.
Great. Okay. So you're looking for examples.
I think so, yes, because it's okay doing the front, which you can mail, but just how to lay out the reverse, where you're putting your work and all your contact details, it would be helpful for someone to actually have an image.
Okay, here's what I'm going to suggest, because you're in our community. I'm going to suggest that you write a post, make it an article post, so that it has a headline, and say, looking for postcard examples, and ask people to post their pictures in the comments.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you. I'll try to scare up some to share there as well.
Okay.
And everyone here in the community that has postcards, you need to respond to Margaret Ann, okay? Yeah. It is great. They're wonderful. And then you can mail them, but you can also hand them out. You can, you know, you can place them in stacks, places. Used to have to just get like 500 of them, and you had them, you know, running out your ears, and no more. You don't have to get that many anymore.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Louise says, any advice on using LinkedIn for art? I used to use it for organizational businesses. Louise, hi, welcome. This is my first time to talk to you in person. We've been emailing a lot. Welcome. And I know it's early there. Oh my God.
Yes, thank you. Hi.
It's very early there.
It's not so early now, but I joined at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for getting up.
Great.
Early.
No, I'm very, very happy to be here. It's great.
Okay. So LinkedIn, I actually took a LinkedIn class like 3 years ago. It was not a class, it was a challenge. And I learned so much. What I mostly learned is that I can't find art people on LinkedIn. There's other people, but I thought, well, maybe I can, you know, learn how to connect with curators and consultants and so forth. They're on Instagram. They're visual people. So I don't use it to find art people.
No, but me neither. I was also trying to think, can I leverage those connections that I've already got?
Yeah.
I kind of feel a bit uncomfortable about it because my communication with them has always been about another topic. And although I did see one of my contacts shared that their partner had just become an artist and had set up this new LinkedIn page as an artist, if any of their contacts would like to go and visit it. you know, maybe they'd like to do. So maybe I might be able to get someone else to refer, be like a referral as well, or endorse me, you know, set up a page and endorse me. That's, I suppose, a possibility.
It's a shame because LinkedIn is great. Like, I really wish that I would much rather be using it. And it's great, but they have their own algorithm issues. Mm-hmm. So, but that person, so that's like a perfect opportunity for you to connect with that artist too, and then show support. Oh, I'm an artist too. And don't give up on it if you've built some connections there, but I have just found it really hard to find people in art.
Yeah. Okay. So. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Louise. And thanks for getting up early. Doug says, any thoughts on starting content for a newsletter? Hey, Doug, you want to, I don't know if you want to come on. It would be great. Is it?
Hi. Yeah.
Hey, are you talking about like beginning content or starting a newsletter?
I've been in the game for a long time, mostly doing public art commissions. So now I'm switching to smaller pieces and trying to build an online store. So when I send out, I haven't sent out a newsletter yet. Do I send it, include some kind of sense of history and who I studied with or anything like that?
Nobody cares.
From where you are right now.
Where you are right now. From this point forward. Yeah. But
you've had 46 years of experience.
Well, you can do that. I don't know. Do you want to read about someone's 46 years of experience?
No, but, you know, if, for instance, there's a public art piece in Cincinnati or in Los Angeles or something, they know it. How do I get to those people?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is I don't want the whole tenor of your email to be, this is my history. I don't want. It could be a small section. Like, this is what I'm up to now. And if you're in LA, make sure that you stop by to see this.
I'm just saying, you can, starting the newsletter, a newsletter, you're kind of coming from out of the blue.
Well, do you have subscribers? You sounded like you had subscribers.
No, I haven't sent anything out.
Oh, okay. So so you need to get subscribers first. You need to ask people if they want to hear from you.
Sure.
Yeah. So then, but then the minute you ask people you want to hear from you, that's when that whole like designing the customer experience comes in. If they say yes, and you don't email them for 6 months, then they forget who you are. Again, and you're reintroducing yourself again. So you kind of have to be ready to go with the content before you ask people for if they want it. Do you have your collectors? I mean, if you did public art, do you have collectors' names? Do you have a list of people that might want to?
There are cities and places like that, communities. Not so much individuals. There's few individuals, but more like places. You know?
Yeah, understand. I understand. It's tough. So you're going to be building them, and you probably need to focus on your website first, because if you send out an email, you want to send people to your website. So that kind of needs to be in place first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got this. You can do it.
Yeah, it's kind of like starting over.
It is. Well, it totally is. Yeah. I feel for you. I know. And there are people here who, like Louise was just talking about, this other list that she has. She was emailing them for other people or connecting with them for other reasons. So it does happen. And it's just like one step at a time. Don't try to do it all at once. But the newsletter, while you're working on the website, you can start building your list of people to contact. And it might be public people in charge of the public art programs for those cities.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you. Linda says in the newsletter, if we are pitting our new classes or inviting to exhibitions. Oh yeah, you are. You're pitting your new classes and inviting people to exhibitions. Yeah. You are. For sure. Didn't mean to insinuate that. Your newsletter is like for everything. And maybe you typed this before I answered that. Your newsletter is like for everything. When you want one thing, class starts next week, that's in a separate email. And Linda, I know you have access to my book. There's a whole chapter on things to put in your newsletter, a newsletter or blog posts. Alexis, long question. Help me out. Where are you?
Hi. Yeah, I was just basically wondering. I'm starting out, and I was just wondering, like, I collected a few emails in my first open studio about 10 days ago, and I am right now working on my monthly newsletter that I'm going to send out hopefully at the end of the month, and putting together my website. So I have that plan in place, but I didn't know if I should be potentially also emailing those people in the meantime. Just because like a month is like a long time, you know what I mean? To email, they might forget, or, you know, that kind of thing. So I wasn't sure, just like, what's non-pushy message?
Yes.
I had said, it'd be a monthly newsletter, I'm not going to harass you. And I want to obviously stand by that, but that's kind of the question.
Yeah. Well, also when people sign up from you, they're most excited to hear from you. Sign up with you. They're most excited to hear from you. So it's very appropriate. And this is in the customer experience stuff, is very appropriate to email them back immediately. Oh my gosh, you signed up. I'm so excited. So they signed up when? A week ago?
It was like a week ago Sunday. So it's like 10 days or so at this point.
10 days. Yeah. So you could say, I'm, you know, getting all the names organized from my open studio that I had. And I just wanted to extend, this is one-on-one emails, because you all have 10, you can do one-on-one, no problem.
Yeah, totally.
So I just wanted you to know how much I appreciate your taking this leap with me, and wanted you to know that my plan is to send my first newsletter at the end of the month. So I look forward to connecting with you then.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because it is, you know, that it's so important not to let that list get cold. So
cool.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yes, Melinda said she's right. Melinda is right. Open rate is not accurate anymore, because bots are opening them to find spam. I don't understand it totally. But open rates and whether something's been opened or unopened isn't totally accurate. And that's why. And that's why we can't rely on those things anymore. And that's why I don't send a lot to unopens. Okay. I'm looking. Oh, I think I got through all the questions. Does someone have a question that I didn't answer? What I want you to do tonight is go through your People Day stuff, go through everything again, and see if you have remaining questions that you can come to office hours tomorrow. If you know what those questions are, you can post them. If you're in our community, you can post them in advance to office hours. But I think we did it. I think we got your plan. Do you all feel okay about that? Okay. There's really no other way you could answer that with me sitting right here, but I love to hear from you. I'd love to hear how your people plan's going, your people day is going. I'd love for you, if it's right for you, to join me in my programs, any of them. If you have any questions about that, you can always email me. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for connecting with one another. Love seeing that. Everything will be posted as soon as I can get it up. I'm really happy to know some of you, some new connections. Have a wonderful afternoon and hope to see you tomorrow or in my programs. Bye-bye.